Thank you, Lord. We're going to start over in Psalms, and we're going to read 22, I believe it is. Psalm 22. Once I read it, you'll realize it's kind of a famous verse. Verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by people. So that's our core verse today. I am a worm, no man. The design of mankind from God was never to be more, in a sense, than a child of God. Never to be less than a child of God. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? But see, you're on this side of the cross. So praise the Lord, you are able to be born again. I'm continuing to talk about transformation today. I feel like I'm, when you go like in a bike ride or a motorcycle ride or a four-wheeler drive and you get into the weeds or in the mud, you slow down, you get tangled up. Well, in describing the process of transformation, sometimes we can get stuck, or I can get stuck, I'll put it this way, in the weeds, in the mud. But I feel on me a real direction of God this season to go into the details, as much as there are details, as far as I can go. There's, of course, in God's mind, we'll be learning things for the next gazillion years and still learning more, you know. Isn't that amazing about your spiritual brain? You have a brain that's spiritual, that's alive now because of the new nature, that you'll learn something new about God every day for the rest of eternity. And the beautiful thing is you won't forget it. You know, you forget where your keys are. I might forget where my car is, you know. My mom called to wish me a happy birthday a few years ago. I was like, happy birthday, son. Thank you, Mom. I remember the day you were born. Yes, yes, yeah. And I was born 2 months early while they were on vacation. And my mom had to sit in the hospital, you know, about 1,000 miles from home for 2 months because I was born 2 months early. And so they had to wait until I was the right age, I guess, or healthy enough to go home. And she remembered all those details. She said, now, how old are you? You're 46, right? And I think I'm 47, but hold on, let me think. So the both of us were talking like, how old am I? How old are you, Mom? Well, I think I'm like, you're trying to shave a year off of my life so you can shave a year off of your life. I caught her. No. But man was made and designed by God, and understand his foreknowledge, knowing what's going to happen, cannot make him change things. Like a question a preacher will have in his life a few times is, well, why does a God just make a Hitler not be born? Or why doesn't God cause this to stop? Or why does he just make the devil disappear? And Pastor Dave said the most costly thing in heaven was giving free will. Every individual, every angel, every creation of God, every child of God, the right to do whatever you want to do with your life, and he refuses or cannot make you do anything. But in that is something beautiful, where he always, in his foreknowledge of your mistakes, in the foreknowledge of our rebellions, he also prepares a path for redemption. And that's for all of us throughout our life, as he did with mankind. Foreknowing Adam would sin, he made a pathway to redemption through Jesus, which altered the decision to eat the apple, altered humanity in such a way. it altered creation in such a way and twisted it in such a way, as Gary has said, we can't even recognize the difference between the two. And it's so much more than just a nature of sin. The whole creation, the animal kingdom, the universe was twisted and changed because of Adam's choice. So when we're talking about transformation that we read out in Romans 12, the more details I'm seeing about what that is, the possibility of what that is for you, no matter what your calling is, no matter what color you are, no matter what your culture was, no matter what upbringing you came from, no matter your past mistakes, the possibility of the transformation, the beauty, the amazement of what is in front of you is mind-blowing when we see what the potential really is. And to understand it, we have to understand that verse in Psalm 22, because man went from being a child of God, Adam walking with God, talking with God, fellowshipping with God, to being a different creature, a creature of death, of darkness, different from God. Someone said, well, why didn't God just forgive him? Well, he did. But the difference was now he's a different creation. He was a different creature. When God walked with him and he walked with God, he was naked and didn't know it, and they fellowshipped, and God said, I love you, and Adam said, I love you, and they were father, son. He was a child of God. But then when he sinned, his nature turned dark. Death, not dead like a dead animal on the side of the road, but it produced death. So now when Adam said, I love you, he really meant it. I love you. And God said, I love you too. But the difference was now they're two different creatures with different natures. Adam was no longer a child of God, but now a child of the devil. And that's the creation that you were birthed into, you were born into, you were born into this world a child of darkness, a child of Adam, a child of sin. I'm doing good because I haven't told you anything you don't know yet, so that's good. In Adam's creation, because of his sin, we were never meant to have to transform. See, when God created Adam, Adam was perfect as God was perfect, in the very image of God. Adam looked God straight in the eye and did not feel shameful, inferior, distant, different at all. And he wasn't God, he wasn't divine, Adam was not divine. But he was as pure and perfect and righteous and holy as God, his creator, his father was. But then he sinned, and everything changed. So every creation from Adam is like a worm. They're different than God. When we look at transformation, we understand the word is the same word we use for metamorphosis, which describes what how a butterfly becomes from a caterpillar. And the wording is for you, a believer, to transform like a caterpillar goes into a butterfly. Now, I've resisted using the butterfly as an example just because it's the only example we have from this world, or the best example we have in this world, of a process of metamorphosis. But the difference is a caterpillar was created from the beginning to end up as a butterfly. If the caterpillar can avoid birds and your spray, kill spray, or your foot, it will eventually turn into a butterfly. It's designed that way. And in the natural, the way it works is inside of the caterpillar, there's, I don't have the proper terminology to give you, but I never do. Inside of the caterpillar are a few little hidden nuggets, butterfly nuggets, butterfly signals. And when the caterpillar, by it, without thinking, goes into a, builds itself a cocoon, inside of that cocoon, what actually happens is those little butterfly signals, nuggets, that's the technical term, I'm sure, activate, and that metamorphosis begins. The transformation begins inside the cocoon, and what happens is the caterpillar itself actually dissolves, and those little nuggets, those little butterfly signals start to use the material inside of it to transform into a butterfly. But in your creation, from your mom and your dad, all the way back to Adam, there was never a nugget in you or a signal of a butterfly. So you're not transforming into something that you are meant to be, that you were born to be. See, you were born in this world without Jesus to always be a caterpillar, a worm, to live this world with your feet on the ground from this world. Never in you was anything possible for you to be a child of God. Say amen if you're still with me. The reason I resisted using the butterfly as an example is simply because a caterpillar is designed and born with the little butterfly parts in it to become a butterfly. It's without trying, the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. But what's so supernatural about our rebirth from God is that you're going from one species to a completely different species. In fact, what happened the moment you were born again was so significant that He inserted into you a new nature and gave from that new nature, that's the butterfly part. But it didn't come in your original design. You don't just yield over to it. Tell a caterpillar, don't be a butterfly. Go ahead, find some caterpillar, follow it around and talk negative to it. You're an ugly caterpillar, you're not going to be a butterfly. You are not a butterfly, you'll never be a butterfly. You're ugly, you're useless, you're never going to fly. And what's going to happen? He's going to be a butterfly anyway, because it's in him. Or you can talk positive to a worm that is not a caterpillar. A worm is different than a caterpillar. You're a caterpillar, worm. You're a caterpillar. And you're going to fly one day. You're going to grow worm. You're going to, really? Yes, worm. You're going to grow wings. You'll make a cocoon. Really? Yes. I'm trying to pick on a few things like positive thinking, identifying. I identify myself as a caterpillar. No, you're just a worm. Identify myself as a worm. No, you're a cat. You're going to be a butterfly. See, it's in the DNA of a caterpillar to become a butterfly without effort, only following its instincts. There's no school to say at this day you build a cocoon, but it does that by instincts. But you are such an odd creature now. You are. This world, let's take Jesus out of this world. Let's say Jesus has not come yet. Let's say we're before the cross. You're only a worm. There's no anything else in this life but to be in this earth, on this earth, inside this earth, from this earth. You are stuck with the principles of this earth. Now there's great worms and there's lazy worms. There's strong worms, there's weak worms, there's smart worms, there's dumb worms. You know, the ones who, you ever wonder why the birds are all on the ground after it rains? Because all the worms come up out of their holes to keep their air, and the birds are like jackpot. I get to, you know, I don't have to hunt you down. Free food. The only purpose for you in this world would have been to be food for a bird. But you ain't a bird. You're a worm. That's before Jesus. But when Jesus came, and when you came to him, or he found you, however you found salvation, and you asked him into your heart, he inserted in you, as he took out that old nature of sin, a nature of light and life, the nature of God. You became a child of God. And in that was the part that you needed to now no longer walk as a worm or a caterpillar on this earth, but to walk as a what? We say a butterfly, or a better terminology for us, a son of God, child of God. Now, in before you transform, because this is a process, before we transform, we can attempt to be what he said we can be before we're ready. But the transformation process is so amazing. Just ponder with me, and excuse me, I decided I'm going to go in this with or without you the next little while. I'm just going to, and because we can try to simplify, because life is hard, and we hit hard things in life. We want quick answers. But the answer to a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, that's you can't hurry it along. It has to do it as it does it. Let's jump over to Titus. We're going to read a little bit in Titus today. Chapter 1, verse 16. Talking about, this is Judaizers who come in trying to teach things about God using legalism and the law. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Why that's so important is because they were disqualified for good works. See, good works don't qualify you or disqualify you. Works are a product, should be a product of where you are living with God, not a offering to God to prove that you're worthy or worth something. The fact that you're born again tells you that you're worth something. And that inside of you, you have begun a process to transform out of living in this world, by this world, into living in this world from and by another world, a spiritual world. Hold your finger there. We're going to come back to Titus. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And as I'm discussing some of this process of transformation, I'm going to get into the weeds. And when I do, I want to make it clear that some people look at a car like I do. I see a car. There's a wheels and a door. But people who are mechanics, any mechanics in the room? But a mechanic looks at the car, they look at the details of it, like what's behind the scenes. And so whether you look at this transformation or Christianity, this walk that you have from a distance, and you visualize it as there's a wheel, and look at there, the wheel has a tire. It's got a rubber and a rim, three parts, tire, rim, and rubber, you know. Or you look at it like a mechanic. You pull it apart and say, well, there's those parts, and there's lug nuts, and then there's bolts, and then there's, oh, look, there's springs and brakes and calipers and, you know, and hoses and things all behind that one little wheel. Whether you look at it either way, one's not better than the other, but I want to go into some of the details of why there is a need for all this work for transformation. Why is it not natural for you to, just the moment you're saved, to be completely full, knowing everything, because you're now born of God? Why is it so much work to transform? Why doesn't it just happen? Why are there even choices? A caterpillar does not make a choice to be a butterfly. But let's be clear, if you want to be a child, walk as a child of God, you're going to have to make a lot of choices and do a lot of work. Now, work with a K, W-O-R-K, is different than works with an S, W-O-R-K-S. When you tell someone, how much time do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Well, if you're at the prayer center, if you pray less than, let's say 10 hours a week, you're like an amateur. We're out there in Christian world. I mean, someone prays an hour a day, you're like, wow, you're a guru or something. But if you pray less than 10 hours a week here, you're kind of like you're just beginning, because we'll pester you. Well, that's just works, brother. You're just teaching works. It's all by grace. It's just by grace. So that would be true if you were designed to be a caterpillar. But you weren't ever designed by Adam to be a caterpillar. You were designed by Adam to be a worm. And to always be a worm. And to only be a worm. You can be a great worm. You can go to worm school and they'll teach you how to be the best worm to avoid the birds. No, honestly, because what's happened with Christianity is we've gone to worm school to confront things in our life, to overcome things in our life, but a worm school will only teach you how to be a better worm. You're not transforming from a worm to a better worm. Do you understand the transformation that's available to you and me by His grace? With work is into a species that you were never designed to be. That's why there's a fight in you between your outward man and your inward man. Because when you got born again, God inserted into you a new nature, giving you the opportunity before you get to heaven, while you're on this earth, to transform into that species called a child of God. That's why people who go to church can be the meanest people you've ever met. They just haven't transformed yet. And some of them go to worm school to learn worm logic and worm techniques to be better in this world. But they're just going to be a better worm. Well, inside of them lies dormant something that can make them beautiful. Let them fly and leave this earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I know I'm kind of cherry-picking a few verses here, so you can read them yourself more by chapter to chapter, but time-wise, I don't want to get too far in the weeds today. We can read all of chapter 4, but let's start in verse 7. We may read more than I want. But we have this treasure, chapter 4, verse 7, 2 Corinthians. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. So think about a vase or a vase, and inside of it, a clay vase, is a beautiful treasure that's priceless. That's what you have with your new nature. You have inside of you a new nature that's covered with this earthen vessel called your body. The treasure is not your body. The treasure is inside your body. See, God decided, when you decided to submit to salvation, He inserted in you the ability to transform by the new nature. But it's not as effortless as a caterpillar that's designed to become a butterfly. No, you weren't designed for it to be natural. In fact, your new design, because of your salvation, was that He put a new nature in you, which brought to life your inner body, which is connected by design from Adam. When you hear about monks, I remember one guy said to me one time, he's a Christian guy. He said, yeah, I don't meditate like you guys do. You pray in tongues for hour after hour after hour with the Holy Ghost. He said, I've gone higher. What I do is I just get quiet. I quiet my mind, and I lay there for 8 to 10 hours, and I get my mind quiet. And I looked at them, I said, well, I do too. I call that sleep. Well, you know, to people who are trying to teach you, you're allowed to be smart aleck too. People, you know, you can be smart aleck to certain people. That this one needed a smart reaction, because what he was talking about was what Buddhists call meditation, learning to quiet the natural mind to listen to the spiritual. And there's a part of that. That's okay. But if that's all you do, you're just going to learn to listen into the spirit. But you're going to hear all kinds of things. You won't be taught by the Holy Spirit just by quieting your mind. You just learn how to listen to the spiritual side of you. That could be dangerous when a demon comes along and says, hey, I'm an angel of God. Oh, thank you for teaching. Teach me, you know, and they'll teach you all kinds of wacky things. Praying in the Holy Ghost is a lot different than just quieting your natural mind. But in the natural world, you got people who know how to not listen to the natural man, but to listen to their spiritual man. And the spiritual man, the spiritual body, is connected to the natural body, cell for cell. That means that for every thought, you have two opinions, a natural opinion and a spiritual opinion. Well, what happened to you, which made you abnormal from the world and of worms, and abnormal from the world of pre-Adam's fall, was that when you got born again, God inserted into you a piece called the new nature. He circumcised and cut off the old nature and put into you a new nature. Now you have a new nature that brought to light your inner body, would put you in a war between the inner man and the outward man, between the spiritual body and the natural body, between the spiritual brain and the natural brain. And however you want to, like, we all see things in our own way. So I'm not trying to in any way say that the way someone words it is wrong, or the way you see it is wrong, or my way is a better way. I'm just simply trying to describe what God showed me and give wording to it. So some people use different vocabulary in how they describe the spiritual and the natural. And this is not a higher way or a better way. This is just my way. So now, all of a sudden, you have an outward body. Because remember, you were never born to have to go through this transformation. But because of Adam's sin, God made a way through Jesus to allow you not just to make it to heaven, but to be transformed into a life of living by heavenly laws and spiritual rules rather than this natural rules and natural laws. And you don't earn it by good works. The good works come from it. You can't earn it by good works. You can't make God do it. It's coming from in you if you're born again. But you have a treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So now you have the opportunity, you have an opportunity, and I say you because sometimes we want to let the preachers be preachers and the called be the called. And, you know, like someone said, well, you know, those churches that all they do is have 30-minute services, and or they have, you know, prayer lines where you can come and get, you know, like there's a salesmanship in it, you know, like, you know, hey, you need my anointing. I'm a activator. So you give me an offering, I'll activate the calling of blessings on you. Man get in the way of God all the time. You know, but, you know, someone said, well, you know, those churches are 30 minutes. People show up, they leave, everyone's happy. I don't want to belittle that. Those people want that kind of pastor because that's all they want. Because the truth is, you deserve your pastor. Because when you get to a place where the Holy Ghost begins, you allow the Holy Ghost to tell you there's more to life than just going to church and having a nice car and a nice house and a nice family. When you decide to yield over to that, there becomes a war that you fight, a battle that you fight. You can identify, say, well, I identify with my spiritual man. I identify with my spiritual man. I agree with that. That's great. You should. But it doesn't make the flesh man disappear. You know, he doesn't just go away because you identify. Identifying with your spiritual man is a good way to start. But there is also, it doesn't say ignore your natural man. It doesn't say submit your natural man. What does Paul say about to mortify, to kill? This is an unnatural transformation that you're in because you were never made to have to go through this. In God's original design, you were made perfect from the beginning, exactly perfect, without having to battle, without having to war, without having to transform. That was God's original design. Adam, in his rebellion, hijacked mankind and redesigned us with the help of the devil to be worms, creatures who live this world to live here and die and spend eternity in hell. That was it. Only worms, no power from God, no fellowship of intimacy with a father, worms, earth creatures, with no hope of transformation or change. And then Jesus came. And man, one day we'll learn in eternity how much effort and work went into just sending Jesus to this earth to give you a chance to be born into the family of God, to be born the first time of Adam, to be born again the second time of your Father. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Say, not crushed. Praise God for that. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. These are external warfare. How many of you have been through a little bit of external warfare when you thought transformation was going to be natural and easy? Like, hey, just yield over to the process and let it happen. You know, that's too much work having to pray and fast and worship, confess the word. Just yield. I'm picking on some doctrines now, if you don't notice that. But here it says, you're hard-pressed and crushed. Brother, I tried to yield, and I got, like, persecuted and attacked and hard-pressed. But I'm not crushed. Are you in despair? No, I'm not in despair, but it's not comfortable. That's because the transformation that God threw you in, or you accepted when you got born again, isn't natural to you. It's not a pathway that just comes. It's going to take a decision, an effort, a focus, a laser focus that my life is not about living on this earth happily. My life is about transforming into who God wants me to be. And why is there a fight? Because you're wearing a part of you called your natural body, the outward man, who was not saved at your salvation, who didn't get the memo that we're going to be a butterfly. It didn't get that memo. It doesn't want to be a butterfly. It wants to be a worm. And it's going to fight you to stay a worm with worm thoughts. Now, we're not trying to teach the worm, the natural man, how to act like a Christian. Okay, I'm going to educate. We're going to evolve. See, a caterpillar evolves more. That's not the right word. Transforms or metamorphosizes into a butterfly. But your natural body that you're wearing is not meant to transform. It's only good for one thing, letting you have your feet on the ground while you are transforming into another world. So we're not trying to educate, train our natural brain. This is my language. This is the way I see it. Our natural brain to think like God thinks. It may look like that when you get a revelation, but that's not really the proper way to look at it, I would say, is we're trying to shut it up, our natural brain, and say, you're stupid, shut up. You're a worm. The thoughts of God come from my spiritual man because God speaks to me spirit to spirit. So when you accept a truth as being true and it's from heaven, it's a true knowledge of God, what's happened is you learn something in the spiritual realm, preferably by the Holy Spirit, but that it can come from a good preacher. Because you ever have a good preacher like myself? No. and the preaching's going, and your inner man's going, jumping up and down, like, oh, that's good, that's good. Someone will come to church and they go, oh, I don't know why, but it just felt so good. Well, that's their inner man going, ah, oh, spiritual truth. Yes, food from God. It doesn't, you know, none of us own spiritual truth. It all came from God if it's real anyway. We're not smart enough to know spiritual truth. Your natural man, the natural thoughts, you were not trying to take the natural brain that you're wearing and making it understand God, because it is limited to worm earthly thoughts. But what you are doing, because now that your inner man is alive and alight, and you have a spiritual brain that can understand the deep things of God, when you go pray in the Holy Ghost, you say, you hear someone like Pastor Dave say, if you pray in tongues, it will change you. And I remember hearing that thinking, oh my Lord, I've tried everything else. I might as well try that. It's the only reason I dove into tongues, because I'd heard all different ways to manage my problems, my lack of knowing who I was, or lack of knowledge, my difficulties in life of being the child of God that I knew how I was supposed to be. I tried discipline. I tried willpower. I tried casting the devil out of myself. I tried having other people cast the devil out of myself. I tried anointing. I tried everything. Well, okay, I'll try praying in tongues. This guy says if I pray in tongues, it will change me. So the first day I decided to go pray in tongues. If I pray in tongues, it'll change me. My thought of change was a new car, nice house, pretty wife, big ministry. So I said, let's go pray in tongues. And my natural body, my natural man said, yes, great, let's go. And let's go win the lottery. You know, we joined hands and we skipped off to the prayer closet. You know, my going to the prayer closet. Yes, going to get a new car. Going to get a pretty wife. Going to get a big ministry. Yes, going to get rewarded. Let's go to the prayer closet. And then you go to the prayer closet and you walk in, all of a sudden the door slams and the outward man is on the outside. That's why the Bible says when you pray in tongues, the natural man or the understanding is unfruitful. So the natural brain does not get a hint of what's going on when you're praying in tongues. But your spiritual man, your spiritual brain is getting full of the wisdom and knowledge from eternity, from God. And you leave there and you think, well, I don't know what just happened. You look at your natural man, what happened? I don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't feel any different. I prayed for a couple hours, don't feel any different. Shanda ba shanda. I don't even know what I'm saying. Well, that's because your eyes are trapped in your natural head. There'll be a day down the road if we don't stop. We'll be living with our eyes seeing out of our spiritual head. And we'll see things and see problems and see situations through the wisdom of the Spirit instead of firstly through the wisdom of the worm, the natural brain. And so the next day you say, well, let's go back and let's just, you know, the guy said that if you pray in tongues, he'll change you. Okay, let's go. Your natural man joins your hands. Let's go. We're going to go pray. Going to go pray in tongues. Get a new car. Get a pretty wife. Get a big house. Get a huge ministry. TV. Yes. Going to get some money. Let's go. Let's go. Because your natural man will be happy to serve God, but it won't die for God. That's why you have to force it on the altar. And so after a few weeks or sometimes a few days of praying in tongues, you leave and you know there's something different. I remember Dave's example, like, Pastor Dave, you said praying tongues, and I started praying tongues, and my pastor began to teach differently. And he's teaching wrong. And Pastor Dave always said, no, he didn't change. You changed. Right? All of a sudden, you started to know things, but you don't know where does this knowing come from? It's just like you talk to a girl, you walk into a store and there's a girl with you, and the girl goes, oh, that guy's creepy. I'm like, what? That guy right there, he gives me the eebie-jeebies. You know, like there's something wrong with him. Every girl, ever feel that, girls? Get around some guys and you just know there's something, you have an instinct, there's something creepy about this guy. Now, us guys, we don't notice it mostly, but most girls have a an instinct for eebie-jeebie creepy guys. There's something working behind him that I don't like. Well, that's what happens when you begin to learn in the spirit, but your eyes of your understanding are still in the natural man. You feel it. It's like a feeling. It's a knowing, but you don't really know the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the ABCs of it. But you know, there's something wrong with what that guy just said. He said this about God, but then something in me says that's wrong. Well, where's that coming from? Well, I don't know. I just know in the spirit. I feel it down here. See, but what's happened is your spiritual man, your spiritual brain, was taught a spiritual truth by the Holy Ghost, leaving the natural brain out. But because we're not transformed yet, or you're in the process of transforming, the way you see and listen and learn is from the natural man. But the spiritual man is starting to learn. And out of your obedience to that learning, out of yielding over to that and obeying that, then you begin to look at your natural man and say, you don't have any advice to give me. You're just a worm. See, we're not trying to retrain our natural brain. We're trying to mortify his thoughts. Now, if we could cut off the natural brain, life would be a lot easier, but you wouldn't be here on this earth. So we have to fight it. Why is there a fight? Because you were never designed to be in this condition in the first place. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul having to describe to the Gentile church and to the Jewish church, the people got saved out of those cultures, why all this is happening to me? Hey, you said I got saved. I'm a new creature. Why am I still struggling with this thought? Why am I still tempted in this way? Why am I, you know, trying to have to describe? And here's part of him trying to describe to a church the new creature you became, the oddball creature you became the moment you got born again. With now, all of a sudden, a worm with the DNA of a butterfly inserted into it, now you can transform, but you're going to have to fight your natural nature, the natural man, because the natural man doesn't want to yield over to be a butterfly. It wants to stay a worm. It doesn't know anything else but to be a worm. But here now, because you have inside of you this new nature, you have the ability to transform out of wormhood into butterflyhood. Am I preaching okay? Again, I'm just preaching the way I see it. The way you see it or verbalize it isn't wrong at all. It's important that we describe things the way that we image that we see it. Verse 11. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Talking about the persecution that came against them, that was worth it because of what it produced, what God was producing in them. A little boy one time, his mom gave him a caterpillar and to show him the process of, you know, the beautiful thing that could happen. So he raised his caterpillar and he went to his mom concerned after a while. Mom, it's doing something weird. And she described to him, well, it's making a cocoon to become a butterfly. So just watch it. It's amazing. So he watched it and after a while, he saw a little hole come out of the cocoon, a little hole, and they saw the butterfly trying to get out. So he went and got some scissors. And he said, well, I'm going to help it out. So he went and clipped the cocoon open and made a big slot, and the butterfly came out, but it was warped. Its wings were all shrunk. And so he told his mom, and she said, well, let's go down, and there's a university down the road. So they took the warped little butterfly to the university and found the guy who knew something and said, what's wrong with our butterfly? And he said, oh, when you clipped the cocoon open, that the butterfly didn't have to struggle to get out. But you understand the struggle to get out. When a butterfly struggles to get out of the cocoon, all the fluid from it is pushed into the wings, the blood and the fluid to give the wings life. And because you cut the struggle and stopped the struggle, it wasn't able to finish the transformation. Now let me pause there because we can preach a long time on that. See, this is why you stop traveling from conference to conference, trying to get anointing, glory, power from an open heaven or someone lay hands on you. And all those things are nice, but that's worm language to someone on the word of transformation. Can you just quicken up the process? Lay hands on me. See, your natural man will not understand, will not agree with the process of transformation. We'll try to simplify it because it doesn't want to fight or struggle. It wants to avoid struggle. It doesn't want to let go. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though, look at this, our outward man is perishing. Yet, the inward man is what? Being renewed day by day. And I struggled with this for such a long time. Okay, my outward man, this outward clay, earthy worm monkey on my back body, the body that you're wearing was left out of the picture. It's very incredible. Do you know that when you eat that donut or that pizza, that your body takes it and breaks it down to minerals and then your body puts it into the blood system and you're, somehow I eat steak, hamburgers and donuts and I get fingernails and skin and bone and hair, thank God for hair, and all those things. The body's amazing. Do you know that your blood has to be exactly the right pH, and that if your blood is too acidic, that your body sends a signal to the bones to dissolve part of the bones to get the calcium into the blood to keep your pH level of the blood the same? Did you write a note to yourself to do that? Do you know that your temperature stays at a certain level for a reason? Your body regulates that. That's your natural body. It's not a dummy. It's not just a creature that's out looking for fights and for inappropriate things all the time and drugs and alcohol. It's amazing. It's amazing. Your body is amazing what it is designed to do, but it's not just in the natural part of you. It's also in the psychology of you. That when you're a child and someone does something to you, your natural man goes into defense mode that later on in life, I ain't ever going to let someone do that to me again. Without thought, you didn't write a note down, but it took over and said, I'm going to protect myself. That's the natural animal that you're wearing. It's full of ideas and thoughts, and it's always about doing better. The world will teach you how to make your natural man successful and shine in this world. But if that's all you do, that's all you're going to do is shine in this world and never transform into the amazing creature you can become in God. So when it says the outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day, I struggle, like, what's being renewed in me? Because it'd be different if it said new, but it says renewed. That's renovate, rebuild. It means there was something there before. So why am I renewing the inner man? Why am I not renewing the outward man? Why is the outward man perishing but the inner man being renewed? Before you were born again, you were exactly the same from a distance. You had a nature, an inward body, and an outward body. You had a dark nature, though, which meant your inward body, spiritual body, was dark. And it was tied in cell for cell, thought for thought, with your natural body, perfect unity. But then something happened. God inserted some butterfly chunks called your new nature into you. And that new nature brought to life the inner body, but left the outward body to darkness. That's why the outward body is being replaced. But now you have a problem, because the same little body that you're wearing, that is inward and outward, spiritual and natural. See, I'm not even talking about you. I'm just talking about your bodies right now. Inward and outward. See, a Buddhist understands you have an inner man and an outward man, but his inner man's dark. He can reach into the spiritual world. You can meditate yourself into silence, into the spiritual realm, but it'll be the wrong side. You'll be listening to the wrong little demon thing telling you he's a good guy when he's not. But your inner man came to life. But why is it being renewed? Because your spiritual brain, because it came to life, all the knowledge it gained from the darkness was wiped clean. You were born again. And the inward body now has a spiritual brain that is capable of learning for the rest of eternity secrets, deep secrets of God. But it's being renewed, because it used to have knowledge of darkness, but now you can feed it spiritual knowledge of life, about who you are and where you're going to go. See, if you look in the mirror and see your outward man and listen to your natural thoughts, it's going to tell you you're either the king of the world or you're the loser of the world. But, you know, if you're a worm, you're a worm, so it doesn't matter which one you are. Again, I'm just trying to describe the way I see it. I'm not trying to devalue the way you may see it, because the way you see it personally is very important. But in this, it tells us that there's a unnatural fight that you're in the moment you're born again to transform into the child of God that he's designed for you to be. And you're not going to get any help from the natural man. Therefore, verse 16, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, so before he talked about the external warfare, some of you have been through that. I just started serving God and praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, nothing's going right in life. My wife's mad at me, my boss is mad at me, you know. That's the enemy trying to stop you, discourage you. But now he's talking about an internal warfare that you have, that the moment you were saved, the inner man was brought to life, putting you in a battle between the flesh, or the outward man, and the spirit. Your outward body and your inner body are now at war. I don't want to be at war. Well, then you're going to lose. You'll lose to the worm. You got to get up every day and fight this war, or you're going to lose. Well, it's not fair. Why can't I just yield over to the inner man? Because the inner man has to grow up. It's lacking in knowledge. It's not the nature. The nature is complete. The nature that you receive from God has everything in it already. The image of Christ is already in there. That's why you need the Holy Ghost to come and teach you. We have designed for generations a church religion that allows people to serve God in the flesh and never finish their transformation. And we've accepted because it seems like it makes sense. It seems easy. But you were foolish enough like me to go, oh, pray in tongues, it'll change me. Great. Well, I didn't know what it was going to do to me. And all of a sudden, by my spiritual agreement to go pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost took advantage of me and said, let's keep going, let's keep going. And all of a sudden, I'm like the guy swimming across the lake, and you get tired. You're about to give up. You're like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go back. And you look back, and you're already about 10 feet past the middle. So it's closer to the other shore than it is to go back. So my life is like, well, I'm tired, I'm weary, I might as well keep going, because it's easier to finish than it is to go back. And you're in that same place, I'm pretty sure. Therefore, do not lose heart. Verse 16, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. See, renewing is is not growing like the spirit man isn't growing. It's already the same as your outward body. But it's lacking in knowledge. And when you fill it with spiritual knowledge, so the Word of God, that's why confession is so important. Praying in the Holy Ghost, that's why praying in tongues is so important. You fill your spiritual mind, your spiritual brain, with the knowledge of who you are in God. And then from that, you look over at your natural man and go, you're wrong. Shut up. When you feel, oh, I'm just broken, one day you'll look over and go, you're wrong. I'm not broken. I'm a child of God. Shut up. And it can look like inner healing, but really it's mortification. We're not trying to heal the outward man. We're trying to kill that sucker. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen. That's talking about your inner man, which you don't see, is eternal. But the things that you see, the natural, is temporary. Real quick, I'm going to go back to Titus chapter 3. Verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, talking about salvation, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration. Okay, that's number one. The washing of regeneration. When we look in the Greek, we can see that means like a bathing, and the regeneration is a born again, being a new nature. So by like being baptized in the death and resurrected in newness of life, that's the new nature. But that's the first part. There's an and there. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to finish the transformation. And it's a spiritual process that looks over at the outward man, which has not agreed to give up itself. When we talk about the butterfly and the caterpillar and the cocoon, when I read that, what happens is the little butterfly chunks come to life or activated in the cocoon, and it actually eats up the body of the caterpillar. It turns into mush inside that cocoon and regenerates into a butterfly. That's the process that's being described for you, but for you it's not natural. It's unnatural because you were never born of God to ever have to sin and never born of Adam to ever stop being a worm. But God interrupted your day the moment you got born again and inserted into a nature of light and life. And now your spiritual man is alive, seeking after the knowledge of God. And your outward man is left alone for you to train it? No. For you to help it to understand? No. Do you ever try to describe spiritual things to someone who's not spiritual? It's like trying to teach a dog something. It's unnatural to them. Your natural body has not agreed to this transformation. It is not comfortable with this transformation because it means that it has to die. But there is such a transformation for you and I. No matter where we're coming from, no matter what we're coming through, and it comes with the help of the renewing of the Holy Spirit, teaching our spiritual man who we really are over and over, the deep things of God. So you have something to fight your natural man with, that anger, that hurt, that brokenness that your natural man tells you, the insecurities, the pride. All those things will rule your life until you confront them. And if you try to confront them with worm-like skills, all you'll do is tame them. You won't ever overrule them. You'll just tame them. But there's a process called transformation where from the spirit, you look over at the natural man, his thoughts or her thoughts and the natural man's opinions and views of life and success and happiness and say, shut up. You don't tell me who I am, where I'm going anymore. And you begin the process of the true mortification and the process of true transformation. Amen. So you're dismissed. God bless you. See you at 10.